Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 25th, 2013. If you were tuned in to yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, I had David Atkin on the line. I had called him in Missouri. He's traveling into our area. In fact, he's going to be at a number of local churches beginning with this Friday, June 28th at 7 p.m. He'll be in Fisher at the River Valley Church of Christ on Sunday, June 30th for the 9 and 10:30 a.m. services. He'll be in Monticello at the First Christian Church. Then on Monday, July 1st, 6 p.m., he'll be biking over to Brockton, to the Brockton Christian Church. And then Wednesday, July 3rd at 7 p.m., he'll be in Terre Haute at the Agape Christian Church. And David, thanks for joining me again for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And yesterday I had you share a little of your life story, how you came to Christ, how God can use all of us, whether we have some baggage, maybe anger issues. He wants to have a redemptive plan in all of our lives, and he'll equip us with those experiences so we can nurture and help and assist others, have compassion, and yet allow us to operate with his strength and his wherewithal to accomplish unique things. And you and your wife, Brenda, you shared a little of that love story, and that is archived, listening friend, at greatnewsradio.org, but you shared some of the story. She kind of took your breath away the first time you met. You prayed it up. Oh, Lord, I didn't get to talk with her. I hope she comes back into the church. There she is at the top of the steps, and you're like, wow, God. So that was almost like love at first sight, huh?
Yeah, it really was. It was.
So you mentioned that and how God has used Brenda in your life these past 25 years and how she's been a helpmeet, a support. Even leaving the country, she loved her family, but you had a calling about 15 or so years ago towards the Taiwanese people, unreached people group. So today I'd like you to focus a little on how God's calling was on your life to go to Taiwan, what is Glory Trek, and how is God using that? So you can kind of just jump right in, but give us a little more of that. You were at Bible college, you're kind of feeling a call to do something for the Lord, and you served as an assistant pastor, working with youth and some things in the early days, but what was the springboard into Taiwan?
Well, growing up, one of those people who really were a blessing to me, a real mentor, was a missionary from Nigeria, Africa, Don Bothman. Don had this really unique way of getting a kid's attention. He carried with him his pet snakes, boa constrictor snakes. So he would come into the classroom. He would find the most maybe mischievous youngster, and he would put Betty, the boa, around their neck, and he would say, "Now, Betty doesn't like it when you're fidgety or you talk too much." And so it had a real calming effect. And Don was just one of those people that you just really admired and loved. And so I grew up really idolizing Don Bothman. Hmm. He was murdered in 1989. Now, I was already in ministry. We were in Charleston at the time, and when I got that news, it really hit me hard. Mm-hmm. And in 1990, we went to a conference, and a man got up, and he held up a pair of work boots, and he said, he told a story, and I said, "I know that man." And then he said, "Who's going to fill Don Bothman's shoes?"
Mm.
And I really felt the Holy Spirit kind of felt like a cinder block being dropped on my head or on my heart, and I knew it had to be me, and, you know, and like the words of maybe Isaiah, you know, "Lord, you know, here am I, send me." And so I said to Brenda, I said, "Did you hear that call?" And, you know, "What call?" And so I thought it was strange that at the time, you know, God called me, Brenda didn't hear it too. But that was the original call. And so we began really in 1990 to, at least I did, and was waiting patiently for Brenda to receive a call from the Lord, but began to think about how we might one day get to the mission field. And so I went back to graduate school at Lincoln Christian Seminary, and began to take some mission trips and things like that. And God just really began then also to work in Brenda's heart. We began to host international students from the University of Illinois while we were serving in Fisher. And so God used all of those experiences to really set a path, especially toward Asia and toward one of the unreached people groups at the time, which was Taiwan. And so we visited there in 96, and Team Expansion, our mission organization, had a team, actually two teams, working there. And we decided through lots of prayer that this is really where the Lord was leading us. And so in 1998, July 2nd of 1998, we arrived in Taiwan as full-time church planting missionaries with Team Expansion.
Now, what did that look like, and how did that feel to be out of the United States, to be not only in a foreign country, but, okay, Lord, what's the next step? How do you want us to start initiating? Were you involved in a church? Like, what did a church plant look like?
Well, at that time, we actually joined a team that the church plant was in progress, had just begun, and there were just a handful of people. And really, we were in language school for 2 years, full-time. I went another year after that, part-time, to learn more of the Bible, you know, the Bible language, I guess you might say. And so while we were doing language school, we were also helping the church. Brenda did the children's ministry and Sunday school, and I started a youth group. And so we were only able to assist in small ways until we were finished with language school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've been over there close to 15 years serving in various ways?
That's right. We started in Kaohsiung, which is the second largest city in the southern part of Taiwan. And we were there for 5 years. And then we began a new team with Team Expansion. We moved to the third largest city to do a church plant there. And that's where we've been for the last 10 years.
Well, then what led to this whole Glory Trek idea for our listeners? I didn't get to say much about it yesterday, but you're literally driving through our country, raising awareness, raising funds. You started in Los Angeles, headed towards New York City, and you'll be in Illinois, as I mentioned, at the front end of this broadcast. And certainly people that want to come out, I know there'll be offerings and they can financially support you. But tell us, like, how they can get in touch with you or your website. And then tell us a little more about Glory Trek.
Well, Glory Trek really began 7 years ago. I was in a hospital bed. I was paralyzed, and I just had a major back surgery, and I was praying to die. I was, in fact, begging God to take my life because I really thought my ministry was over, and I didn't want to be a burden to my family. And in the middle of the night, I was in a lot of pain. I began to have a vision. Now, I was on morphine, but it really wasn't doing any good. So anyway, I had a vision, and the vision was of my son, Noah, who at the time was about 5 years old. But in the vision, he was older, and we were riding our bicycles. We were first riding around Taiwan, and I saw us in a lot of different places around Taiwan. But the vision didn't end there, and I began to see us biking across America. And I saw us in a lot of different cities. I saw us in lots of different churches and locations. I even, in Amish country, I heard the horses' hooves, you know, on the pavement as we rode by, and the end of the vision was Noah and I in New York City and at the Statue of Liberty. Then it was morning, and I knew God wasn't finished with me yet. And so as I began to heal, I took that vision as a metaphorical, you know, as a metaphorical statement from the Lord saying, you know, I still have plans for you, and you are going to get better. So anyway, I was greatly encouraged by that. But as I healed, and as God did amazing things through that surgery, which was experimental at the time, and
Yeah, because there wasn't a lot of hope that you were going to ever maybe walk again or be productive. I mean, your despair and discouragement in bed and like, Lord, take my life, because you were under the impression that, you know, you were going to maybe be bedridden, if you will, for a lot of your life.
Right, that's true. So anyway, I took that all as metaphorical, that God just really wasn't finished with me yet. But as I healed, and it really was a miraculous healing, and doctors were simply amazed, I began to really believe deep down inside that the vision that I had was not metaphorical, but yet it was literal. And it didn't make any sense to me, because riding my bike, well, that's not my day job. I do church planting. So this was something that I just kind of ignored for a long time, but yet it wouldn't let go of me, and I really began to feel a little bit like Jonah, you know, running away from Nineveh. And so I began to maybe put God to the test on this whole glory trek thing, and so Noah and I actually biked around Taiwan 2 years ago, and we handed out thousands of Jesus Loves You wristbands. You know, God confirmed in a lot of different ways that this is something that He really wanted us to do. And even though it didn't make any sense to me, I needed to step forward in faith and trust God that God was going to open doors and God was going to use this for His glory. Anyway, we began to make plans about 2 years ago to do Glory Trek, and so. You know, God has been faithful, and we just needed to trust Him.
Now, where did you get the name Glory Trek, and didn't the Discovery Channel do a documentary on you?
Yeah, that was part of the amazing healing that took place in my body. The doctors were just really mystified that, you know, I could have this kind of a surgery, which was really a scoliosis corrective surgery, but using a completely new experimental technique, and have such amazing healing take place. As far as the Glory Trek name, that was one of the tests, if you will, a Gideon's fleece, where I was testing the Lord in whether or not He really wanted me to do this. And so I thought, well, I'll tell the president of our mission, Team Expansion, headquartered in Louisville, I'll tell him about this vision that I had, and if he says I'm crazy, then that'll be it, and that's my answer. But instead of saying I was crazy, he and the whole leadership task force just really loved the idea, and they were completely behind it. And Glory Trek was actually the name that he came up with. Our president, Doug Lucas, came up with the name Glory Trek. God just, again, opened another door.
Now, you're going to be in our area this Friday, as mentioned, June 28th at 7 p.m. at the River Valley Church of Christ in Fisher, Illinois. Sunday, you'll be in Monticello, Illinois. That's Sunday, June 30th for the 9 and 10:30 services at the First Christian Church. And then Monday, July 1st at 6 p.m., you'll be in Brockton at the Brockton Christian Church. And then Wednesday, July 3rd at 7 p.m., you'll be in Terre Haute at the Agape Christian Church. But say somebody can't come out and support you and pray you up and meet you and hear some of the stories. Is there a website or a way maybe they want to send in a donation or want to have you come and speak at their church at some point, or you learn more about short-term missions or how they can help? How could they contact you, or what website would they go to?
Well, the reason why we're doing Glory Trek is because there are still 7,126 unreached people groups still in the world today. And that number is about 3 billion people. 85% of those are in the 1040 window, if you're familiar with that term, which encompasses most of Asia, India, and Northern Africa. And so what we're doing is bringing awareness to the fact that there are still so many people groups out there who haven't yet had a chance to hear about Jesus. And so Team Expansion, our mission, and you can find Team Expansion at teamexpansion.org, our focus is on church planting among those unreached people groups. So we're riding across the country talking about those unreached people groups and about Team Expansion and how churches can be involved, how you might even adopt an unreached people group. And you can learn more about that either at teamexpansion.org or at glorytrek.com. And we'd be happy to talk to you, whether you're a church or an individual. Team Expansion would be happy to talk with you about those things. You can learn more about unreached people groups by going to Joshua Project. That's Joshua Project, I believe, .net. And they really focus on those 7,126 unreached people groups.
And that Glory Trek spelling is GloryTrek.com. GloryTrek.com or TeamExpansion.org. And maybe just in our closing couple minutes, God has a passion for the unreached people groups of the world, and you love to preach and share and challenge and encourage. So for our listener today that's driving to work, that works the 9-to-5 shift, give us a few tips, maybe either how to pray, how to support, maybe how to step out of our comfort zone and walk into God's courageous zone, and maybe take that leap of faith and serve in a short-term missions environment or an experience.
Well, every morning my watch beeps at the alarm goes off at 10:02 in the morning, and that reminds me of Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Where Jesus told his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest fields, because he said the fields are white unto harvest. It's the laborers who are few. And so I'm reminded every morning to pray for unreached people groups and also to pray for missionaries who are willing to go. But as I pray that, I'm also reminded personally that I also have a responsibility to share the gospel. And so I don't want to forfeit any opportunity that God gives me to be a light and to share his love with others. And so Luke chapter 10 and verse 2 just reminds me of that. And so if people would love, if they would join me in doing that, that would be wonderful. Remember us in prayer as we're riding our bicycles across the country. If they would do that, that would be terrific.
And I guess you've already clocked over 2,000 miles. And isn't it unique how God brings people into our lives? And your two companions currently from Taiwan, Louis and Andy, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the same personal way as we know him. And you have been praying and working with them and have befriended them and witnessing to them. And that would be something maybe our listeners can continue to pray, that your influence and however the Holy Spirit would bring them into the fold. But they're biking along with you, and they will be at these gatherings on Friday, Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday?
Absolutely. They can meet Louie and Andy, yes.
And I think your son, Noah, joined you actually today on this being the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
That's right. He blew out his knee between Payson and Sholo, Arizona, on a Category 1 climb about a month ago. And so we're really happy that his knee is better. He's joining us, that's right. He's able to join us again.
If you weren't able to write down the different dates and places that David will be presenting at in the coming days, beginning this Friday in Fisher, Illinois, you can find out on a unique calendar at glorytrek.com. There's all sorts of photographs of them biking throughout the United States and lots of other little links that you can find out more about. glorytrek.com or teamexpansion.org. There's a lot of great helpful information there. And David, we're looking looking forward to having you in our area, and we're going to be praying you up, and I hope our listeners can be supportive, come out and see you, visit with you, and maybe be challenged of God to pick up a people group, maybe start praying for a part of the world where God wants to maybe send them or use their resources to equip others to go. So thanks for doing what you're doing, following the Lord's leading. God's best to you and Brenda, and certainly we'll continue to love on your daughter, Emily. We appreciate David Harrison that swept her off her feet and her being a part of the Harrison clan now, which we appreciate so very much. As our listeners know, Karen Harrison is our office manager extraordinaire, and her sidekick, Bethany, does a great job in our office for Great News Radio. So we're appreciative that you're coming to our area, and thank you for spending time on the Monday and Tuesday edition.
Oh, thank you, Mark, for having us.
Well, thank you again, David. And listeners, come on, let's be supportive of this great work, reaching people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David and Brenda have a very unique calling for the Taiwanese people. What people group might God be calling you to be praying for? Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.